back, Mrs. Louis Armstrong, who is the honorary chairman of the Louis Armstrong Memorial Concert, and Al Cobetti, who is the chairman, how shall I say, the working chairman of the Louis Armstrong Memorial Concert, to be held on Sunday evening, June 4th. Sunday evening, June 4th at the Philharmonic Hall. And I understand that the purpose of this concert is to raise funds for a community organization known as ElmCorps. Is that right, Al?
That is correct.
And what is ElmCorps?
ElmCorps is a non-political, non-profit, philanthropic organization which was incorporated by the state of New York in 1968. ElmCorps now has a recreational program. We are now involved with some 1,000 kids throughout the area of East Elmhurst and Corona, where Louis Armstrong lived and died. And one day we hope that the Louis Armstrong Memorial Center will encompass all of our current activities, which also includes scholarships for kids, a musical program, and educational program, and job referral. And we were deeply honored just here recently that our basketball team went all the way to the semifinals.
What was Louis' relationship to ElmCorps?
Well, actually, Mr. Callender, Louis' relationship was just being a community, just living in the community. As you know, that Louis stayed very, very, very busy. But Louis loved the community, and he would never leave. We've been in our house. Louis and I had been married 30 years when he passed, and we had lived in that house 29 years. And he kept saying, this is my neighborhood and my people, and I'm not ever moving.
Now, there were a lot of prominent so-called black entertainment people, political people, who at one time lived in East Elmhurst.
Lived in East Elmhurst and Corona. I know that Bill Kenney lived across the street from me at one time. And they moved. They wanted mansions and things. But Louis, I don't think Louis would have been happy in a mansion. Louis was not that kind of a person. Mm-hmm. He was an earthy man. He lived with the man in the street. Yeah. He communicated with them, and that's what he wanted.
You said you spent 30 years with Louis.
Had been married 30 years. We were sweethearts for 3 years before we were married. That's a long time to give to someone, and it's been a beautiful, beautiful relationship.
Did you travel with Louis a lot?
Everywhere, really? All over the world. Small towns, big towns, small cities, big cities, small countries, large countries.
Did it get boring at any time listening to Louis night after night?
You gotta be kidding.
Really?
How could anyone be bored with those beautiful notes? Louis was creative even at home, even when he was just practicing, and he always blew his horn before he went to work. He always says, if you got anything wrong with you, at home is a place to find out. Don't get on the job and try to rectify it.
I remember something, Al, when we were talking with you over in East Elmhurst the other day, you said Louis had some little package that he used to distribute to people. What was that?
Swiss Chris.
Tell me about Swiss Chris.
Well, Swiss Chris is an herbal laxative. Honestly, this is something that Louis was really hung up on, you know. He believed in keeping your system clean. He felt that if he had a sour stomach, or if you're out on the town the night before and you had a big head, you gotta have a cold sore on your lip. Uh-huh. The next day, and he says, how are you going to blow your horn with a cold sore? He always felt that after the taste of the food, what good was it?
Yeah.
Leave it all behind. So he believed in this, and there's one thing about Louis. He, if he found something that was good for him, that became a lifetime habit with him.
Mm-hmm.
If he found something that was not good for him, he discarded it. It had to go.
I must have been good for him, because
I was a
lifelong friend.
Uh-huh.
See, Louis Armstrong and my father went to boys' home together when they were kids.
Uh-huh.
So need I say more? That's naturally, right. I've been knowing him all my life. I'm proud of that.
Yeah. You told me that Louis did you a very special favorite one time.
Yes, he did. Well, Louis gave me a golden trumpet, gold-plated trumpet, and he had blown this horn all over the world. And he came back, and he gave me this horn, and he says, Al, I'm giving you this horn, he says, but I want to tell you a little more about it one day. So as the years went by, one day, just recently, I say several years ago when he was ailing, and he says, Al, you know, you got the only horn that don't have any identifying marks on it. So I think we should do something about that. He said, you know, when I die, this horn is going to be worth a lot of money. And lo and behold, maybe a week or two after that, he wrote me a letter. And in this letter, it stated, I, Louis Satchmo Armstrong, proudly presented this Emo trumpet, E-M-O, that's the name of the horn, to my trumpet-playing homeboy, who was one of my most ardent friends and dedicated admirers, signed Louis Satchmo Armstrong. And he says to me, he said, now, you know, Al, he says, you're the only man in the world with a Betty Green trumpet. Oh, he's a wonderful
man. You know, some of the things that, that I'm sure you're aware of, Mrs. Armstrong, and Louis' career, there was a time when a lot of, during the time when we had the sit-ins and the Freedom Rides, when Louis was criticized for not being more active in the civil rights movement. Was that
a fair criticism? It hurt him greatly because Louis has been one of the people all of his life. He's never felt or wanted to be anything other than black. Mm-hmm. And he naturally, he was a musician. That was his love. Mm-hmm. He never delved in politics to an extent. He had his friends. We would have rap sessions about politics at home. Mm-hmm. I think the only time that Louis ever went on record really was at the Little Rock bit. Yeah. And I think it was before, really, it was a little ahead of his time, but he really got angry when they broke that child's arm.
Yeah.
I wasn't with him. I happened to have been home at the time, and he was in Canada, and he was having an interview, and naturally these reporters asking about the Little Rock thing, and he blew up.
Mm-hmm.
He put it on the line, you know, and of course, he had very, 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 very bad comments from our political leaders about making this particular statement. I'm unhappy to say.
Really?
Yes, he did.
But the next day, the little...
But the point about it is he had said it, and he said he wouldn't work anymore, and he was supposed to go to Russia, and he said that I wouldn't go to Russia for this country. You know what he said.
Yeah.
And, but the press, they interviewed Adam Clayton Powell, they interviewed Sammy Davis, and I don't mind calling names because it's on record.
Mm-hmm.
They put Pops down because they said he should have... He was a musician. He didn't know what he was talking about. You know, Louis called Eisenhower such a terrible name.
Yeah, yeah.
But Louis was that kind of person. Either he said nothing, and when he got angry, he said what was in his heart and his mind. But, of course,
imagine,
it came out. I mean, it all was beautiful. Now, of course, everybody's in the bag now. Everybody's on the bandstand.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to imagine Louis Armstrong getting angry.
Well, he does. He's only human. You should be with him at home with me sometime.
I would like
but
to.
But the thing about it is, Louis, he never held an anger. The greatest part about him was he never let anything eat on him. If he had if something bothered him, you knew it in no uncertain terms, right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it's over, well, come on, let's go have dinner.
Yeah.
He's had his say, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, there was something.
It was a beautiful thing.
I'd like
thing.
To add to that, that mm-hmm. It seems that the White House is waiting for some big name to speak out. As you know, the troops were alerted. They were ready to. They're waiting for the signal from the White House to go into Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Louis made his statement today, and the troops were in Little Rock the next morning.
He said to Eisenhower, after he'd made the statement, he sent Eisenhower a wire saying that if you will go in with the troops, I'll go with you.
Mm. Mm. That's little known, you know.
It's a funny thing. Nobody really stopped to really dig Pops, and it's an unfortunate thing.
Mm-hmm.
He felt it deeply. He really did.
A prophet is without honor in his own country.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You remember songs like what Louis was playing throughout the years, like just listen to the words, old empty bed, spring's heart is lead, feel like old Ned, wish I was dead. Life through, I've been so black and blue.
Listen what to, did I do
what
to
did
be
I do
so
to be
black,
black
and blue?
Blue.
Yeah.
And... even a mouse ran from my house. They laugh at you and scorn you too. All my life through, I've been so black and blue. Now listen how the channel goes. I'm white. Inside, but that don't help my case, cause I can't hide what's in my face. How will it end? Ain't got a friend. My only sin is in my skin. What did I do to be so black and blue?
When did Louis write and sing that song?
Well, back in 1929, 30, 31, and it's, of course, all of the fans, Louis Armstrong devotees, know the tune. When we toured Ghana in 1956, Louis dedicated a tune to Nkrumah.
Yes, yes.
He asked Nkrumah what he wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. Nkrumah said, "I want to hear Black and
Black
Blue."
Black and Blue.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And it's on a record. You see, we made a record of this complete tour for another network that sponsored the tour, mm-hmm. with David R. Murrow, mm-hmm. and it's on this complete tour record, from the African tour to back behind the Iron Curtain, all through Europe. It's called Satchmo the Great. It's a classic.
That's
and this tune is on there. Right. We ended this complete tour at Lewisham Stadium with Louis doing doing a tune conducted by the New York Symphony.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
But
yes.
Leonard Bernstein,
right.
with this classic St. Louis Blues, yeah. which was just out of sight.
I remember that evening.
Well, this is all on this particular record, and I have now, since Pops has been gone, I've had any number of people to call, or rather write me, because very few people know my phone number, mm-hmm. to ask me where can they get this record, Satchmo the Great.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer an issue.
That's too bad.
But I think now a lot of things will be reissued.
As well as his death.
Yes.
And
tell me about June 4th. I want to know a little bit about June 4th. June 4th, we're all going to be down at Philharmonic Hall that Sunday evening for the Louis Armstrong Memorial Concert. And who are going to be some of the highlights, y'all?
Oh, headlining our show will be Miss Nancy Wilson.
Coming all the way from California for this, huh?
She's coming all the way from California to do this, yes. And Miss Emmy Kemp, Hazel Scott, and Jackie Moms Mabley has said she will be there also. And
Bobby Hackett,
really? Tyree Glenn,
yes,
Dizzy Gillespie,
we're having
Joe
some,
Newman.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have a large array of stars.
A lot of performers have asked, can they participate? Uh-huh. Of course, I'm not on the entertainment committee, uh-huh. you know, well, but also...
Be there.
Definitely.
Incidentally,
the concert cannot go on without me. I have to be there.
Like,
but the point of it is that my office, Associated Booking, I still do business with them. Of course, they managed Louis' career for almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. And since we have so many holdings with them, there's no point in me changing and taking it over to someone else. They, in the entertainment department there, have told me that they are going to cooperate and line up some of their headliners also. That will be in the neck of the woods. You see.
And we can't leave out Clark Terry and his big bad band.
Yes, absolutely.
Clark Terry's band, yes.
And I understand Joe Newman wants to.
Oh, Joe will
yes,
be there.
Sounds like a great evening. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be an evening of sounds. We want to mix the entertainment in every phase. Louis was traditional, you know, and of course then you have your younger people who are a little more in the abstract, so to speak. But we want to gather in every age group, because Louis has captured the youth in every age for the past 50 years, every decade. You
know, it's amazing. I was talking to some young people last night. One was 17, the other was 19, and they could not remember Jimmy Lunsford, but they all knew Louis Armstrong.
That's right.
And Honey Coles is coordinating the show, incidentally. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much. You know, you're a really delightful guest, and I could sit here and rap with you all afternoon, but we have to close. You know, the clock always wins the battle on television.
Well, yes.
We've been talking with Mrs. Louis Armstrong, who is the honorary chairman of the Louis Armstrong Memorial Concert to be held at the Philharmonic Sunday evening, June 4th, and Al Corbetti, who is the chairman and the coordinator of this magnificent affair to benefit the Elmer Core Community Organization. Thank you very much for being on Positive Black, you beautiful people.
Oh, it's a pleasure being here.
It's really been a pleasure.